Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Here's one that we found in a vault, the best of the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch for November 20th, the history headlines. Enjoy.
Legendary Notre Dame coach Newt Rockne once said, "The secret of winning is working more as a team and less as individuals." Nobody knew that more than one of his players, George Gipp. And in today's football history headlines, we talk about George Gipp's final game that he played. The Cowboys set an NFL record for sacks in a game. Walter Payton sets the single game record. And a Cal runner scores a winning touchdown as he runs through the Stanford's band. All coming up in just a moment in your football history headlines, November 20th.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Wow, when you start off with a quote from Newt Rockne, you know you're letting it all hang out on this podcast. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and welcome to your football history headlines for November 20th, where we are going to cover all aspects of the history of the game and the gridiron's great players as we go through it day by day, year by year. And today's date, November 20th, is where we start. And we'll start off in the year 1915 in Varsity Stadium in Toronto, Canada. The 7th Grey Cup was played. The Hamilton Tigers won their second title as they defeated the Toronto Rowing Association 13-7. This contest was more of a rugby game than our modern football is, and it was sponsored by the Canadian Rugby Union. It was not until 1966 when the CRU transferred the care of the cup to the Canadian Football League, according to the Canadian Encyclopedia. November 20th, 1920, at Northwestern Field in Chicago, Illinois, Notre Dame's George Gipp played in his last game on this date against the Northwestern Purple. Gipp was ill at the time, and he was suffering from a shoulder injury that he received in the game against Indiana the week earlier. According to IrishLegends.com, George entered the field as the fans of nearly 20,000 at Northwestern Field chanted, "We want Gipp! We want Gipp!" Gipp responded to the love of his fans as he promptly threw a touchdown pass to end Eddie Anderson. The Irish won the game 33-7, but the ice-covered field and the cold weather did not help Gipp's weakened condition. And 3 weeks later, he was dead at the age of 25.
Pigskin Dispatch.
Next, we have a couple of events that happened on the same day by a couple of NFL legends. That date was November 20th, 1977. The first event happened in the Seattle Kingdom. The Seattle Seahawks' great wide receiver Steve Largent began his NFL streak of 177 consecutive games with a reception against the Houston Oilers. ProFootballReference.com informs us that in the game, he had just one modest catch for 4 yards for this game, but it started a streak that lasted over a decade until 176 more games later, he had the record. Also that same day we told you, this time at Soldier Field in Chicago, Illinois, Walter Payton of the Chicago Bears rushed for an NFL record of 275 yards in one game. The Chicago Tribune has the story of Payton's third season when he broke O.J. Simpson's mark of 273 yards on his final carry of a 10-7 victory over the Minnesota Vikings. November 20th, 1982. Stanford Cardinal quarterback John Elway moved his team down the field and into field goal range with just 8 seconds remaining to allow Mark Harmon to kick a 35-yard field goal and give Stanford the lead at 20-19. It looked like the Cardinal had upset victory in the bag, according to History.com's segment on the play. Elway and his friends may have scored just a hair too fast, though, as the Cardinals still would need to kick the ball to Cal. They did so in a squib kick fashion, and the Cal players used everything in the book on this final play of the game as they proceeded to lateral the ball 5 times just as they were about to be tackled. Cal's Kevin Moan received the final backwards toss and he started running down the field. That's when the Stanford band ran out onto the field to celebrate what they thought was a Cardinal victory. Moan weaved the extra traffic of musicians, even banging into the trombone player before he finally made it into the end zone. The Bears claimed to come from behind victory in the most memorable of fashions in the Stanford band game.
Pigskin Daily History Dispatch.
November 20th, 1983, the New York Giants' Butch Woolfolk set a new NFL record of 43 rushing attempts against the Philadelphia Eagles. In a New York Times article from that day, it says he broke the record of 42 carries earlier in the 1983 season by Tampa Bay Buccaneers running back James Wilder against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Woolfolk turned those 43 carries into 159 yards on the ground as the G-men cruised to a 23-0 shutout by controlling the clock with the ground game. November 20th, 1988, at Dublin's Lansdowne Road Stadium in Ireland, the first NCAA American football game to ever be played in Europe took place as the Boston College Eagles defeated Army 38-24 in a contest promoted as the Emerald Isle Classic, per the OnThisDay.com website. November 20th, 1993, in Auburn, Alabama, the 58th contest of the Iron Bowl took place. In this game, it was the home team that came away victorious as the Auburn Tigers outlasted the Crimson Tide of Alabama 22-14. And again, special thanks to OnThisDay.com's website for that information. Now let's take a break from our football history headlines for just a moment. Focus in on that subscribe button on the Embed Player. Click it so you get all the podcasts released right to you as soon as we release them. Also, you can reach us at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. Right now, I've got a message from one of my friends at the Sports History Network.
Hi, this is John Gidley. Join me each Friday for a trip into the football attic, where I'll delve into forgotten but noteworthy stories of the National Football League. You're bound to learn something new or have your memory jogged each week. That's every Friday, only on the Sports History Network and wherever podcasts are available.
Now is about the time in this podcast where we like to talk about the Hall of Famers' birthdays that celebrate on November 20th. And we'll start off with a great one. In 1901, on November 20th, from Memphis, Tennessee, Yale's legendary fullback Bill Mallory was born. Many folks refer to the back as Memphis Bill per the NFF's bio on the player, as that's where he was from, Memphis, Tennessee. Bill had a solid 3-year career for the Bulldogs. The 1923 season was his best with the team by far, as the team outscored their opposition by the score of 230-38. Mallory did it all from the backfield in that campaign, running, blocking, and catching passes with smooth fluidity, not often seen at the fullback position. The National Football Foundation made sure that Bill Mallory was inducted into their College Football Hall of Fame in the year 1964. November 20th, 1957, in Murfreesville, North Carolina, Dwight Stevenson, the talented center from the University of Alabama, was born. Stevenson was an All-American with the Crimson Tide, and according to ProFootballHOF.com, it was during the 1980 NFL Draft that Dwight was picked in the second round by the Miami Dolphins. What a pick he was, as he made an All-Pro in 5 straight seasons from 1983 through 1987 and played in Super Bowl XVII. Unfortunately, Dwight Stevenson's career was cut short by a severe knee injury, but in just 8 seasons, he was recognized as one of the best linemen ever to play pro football, as the Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined him in the year 1998. November 20th, 1970, in Houston, Texas, Trevor Cobb, the Great Race University running back, was born. Trevor was voted as an All-American and earned the 1991 Doak Walker Award as the best running back in the nation for the season. The National Football Foundation says that Cobb owned almost every rushing record at Rice University when his career ended in 1992. The prolific runner had 4,948 yards, which ranks 24th in NCAA football history to this day. The NFF board voted Trevor Cobb into their College Football Hall of Fame in the year 2018. After college, Trevor played in the NFL with the Kansas City Chiefs and with the Chicago Bears. The Rice alum also played for the Amsterdam Admirals in the NFL Europe in 1996. You know we're not going to leave you here without a tease of tomorrow's podcast. So the November 21st football history headlines round up like this. We're going to talk about Red Grange's last college game is played, one of the greatest comebacks in USC Trojan history, and the birthdays are remembered of Hall of Famers Troy Aikman, Sid Luckman, and Michael Strahan, among others. So don't miss it. Hit your podcast subscription plan or go to your podcast provider or sportshistory.com or the Pigskin Dispatch to tune in to tomorrow's podcast. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.